Welcome to Christchurch Manchester Sermon Podcast.
We are one church that meets in various locations across Greater Manchester.
For more information about who we are or where we meet,
please visit www.christchurchmanchester.com.
So we're in the middle of a preaching series and we're preaching on the foundations of our faith. And we're looking at the five solas of the Reformation, and this one is the third one that we're going to look at today. Who remembers the first one?
Scripture.
Yes. Second one?
Grace.
And the third one? Oh, we've not done that yet. We'll do that now. But I'm going to start with a story. I'm going to invite you on one of my holidays. I've got a nice picture. Has anyone else been to Vietnam? No? Okay, so I'm just... Maybe Reddish, not Stockport. This is the most stunning place that I have ever visited. It is absolutely incredible. Vietnam is full of amazing food. It's got amazing people. It's got a great culture there. It's really interesting to be in a place which is communist, but it's the most capitalist communist nation I've ever been to. They love a bit of money, and you can tell, and it is a great nation to be in. But it also has some of the best scenery that I have ever seen. And this is called Ha Long Bay. And in Ha Long Bay, what you do is you hire one of these, or you get tickets to go on one of these boats, and you just go on these boats for a cruise, and you go around these amazing mountains in the sea, and you can swim in the sea, you can go shrimp fishing at night, you can watch the sunrise and the sunset. It's a glorious place to be, and I just wanted to invite you into that place now, because it is, I'd like to be there. But I was reading, I don't know about you, but when I get into places like this, I just, worship starts to swell up inside of me, because as Romans said, creation reveals God's character to us. And I just, you know, I'm sailing in looking at this kind of scenery and I'm thinking, wow, God, you are incredible. You are just amazing. And my heart starts to raise in worship quietly because there's other people on the boat. And I feel God leading me to read a psalm. And so I get my Kindle out again quietly, not just getting my Bible out. And I just start reading Psalm 103 and it says this. I'm just going to read it out because it's just a wonderful psalm. Let all that I am, it's not on the screens. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. He's slow to get angry and he's filled with unfailing love. He will not constantly accuse us nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the heights of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days are on the earth are like grass, like wild flowers. We bloom and we die. The wind blows and we are gone, as though we had never been here. But the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to the children's children of those who are faithful to his covenant and those who obey his commandments. The Lord has made the heavens his throne, and there he rules over everything. Praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels, who who serve him and do his will. Praise the Lord, everything he has created, everything in all his kingdom. Let all that I am praise the Lord. It's a glorious, glorious psalm. Just looking at the glories of God. And when you're in created order like this and you see the mountains and you look around and you just think, wow, God, you are this faithful God who created all things, but you're the faithful God that draws near to us and shows us your love and mercy and tenderness. And I was in that moment, you know, that holy moment where you're worshiping God. And then I hear a voice next to me. And the tour guide, a guy called Hian, he says to me, "Hey, what are you reading?" I was like, okay. And I just said, I'm just reading the Bible. You know, keep it sharp, keep it snappy, move on, keep me in my holy space. But he started asking more and more questions. And he said, oh, what are you reading? And so I start sharing this psalm with him. And I start sharing the fact that the one true God who created all of this that we look at, you know, that's who I'm talking to. I'm just worshiping him. And this just talks about his great love and how he takes away our wrongdoings and our sins. And he you could just tell he was really interested. And he was asking thing after thing. And the conversation kept going until there was a Western couple on the boat with us as well. Some people who had experienced the West. And they said, oh, yeah, but we've grown out of the need for God, haven't we? I mean, we don't need him anymore. We've got doctors, we've got scientists. We don't need God anymore. We've put him to the side, haven't we? And that was the end of the conversation at that moment. And at the end of the day, this couple walked off, lives unchanged. I don't know that. I pray that's not true. But for all intents and purposes, lives unchanged. Me and Zoe were treated ourselves a bit more, and we had a three-night tour. They only had a one-night tour. So we enjoyed shrimp on that night. But the tour guide stayed on the boat as well. He stayed on the boat. And he came up to me later and said, oh, do you know, I've just been thinking about what you've been talking about. And I just want to know more. I want to ask the question. Like, what is it that you believe? And is there any way that I could possibly believe the same thing? And thankfully, I was prepared. I'm not prepared this morning because I meant to bring one with me. But I had a little tract with me, the 4 points gospel. And I think on the next screen, we have the 4 points of the gospel there. And it's a fantastic little tract. You can keep it in your wallet. It's a tiny little thing. And on the back of it, it has the Bible verses. It is my favorite way of sharing scripture or sharing the gospel. And I just said, listen, Hian, God really, really loves you. He really, really cares for you. He created you in his image. He made you, and he has real passion for you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He really loves you, and he wants the best for you. The God who created all things, he wants to draw near to you. But there is a problem, and the problem is that we all do wrong. That we all sin, that we all do things that God has not designed us to do. And what happens when we sin is it separates us from God. It takes us out of that relationship with him that he had designed us for. It puts a distance. And the scripture says that actually that we are separated eternally from God because of our sin. So we're lost. We're in this place where we know we do wrong. The Bible says everyone falls short of the glory of God. We all sin. We all do that. And the Bible tells us that actually the punishment for that sin is death. That actually that what we deserve is death, and we deserve to be separated from God forever. But remember that this God loves you, and this God really wants to be near to you, and he wants to be in relationship so much so that he would come down as Jesus. And he would live this amazing, spotless, sinless life, the only person to ever achieve that. And he would go to the cross and die on that cross in your place. And he would take the punishment for your sins and your wrongdoings. He would nail them to the cross, and he would bring forgiveness to anyone who would believe. And I shared, this is what you need to do. You need to put your faith in that man upon the cross. You need to put your faith in him. You need to repent, turn from your old ways, and put your faith in Jesus. And in that, you will be fully redeemed and restored to him. You will have eternal life. Jesus said, whoever believes in him would have eternal life with him. And I turned to Ian and I said, Ian, is that something that you think you might want? And he said, yeah, I would really, really like that. And so we just prayed in the middle of this glorious scenery. And we prayed and he invited Jesus in to his life. And he had eternal salvation from that point forward. That's Ian, my friend over in Vietnam. That is what I'm talking about today. That is the foundation that I'm talking about today. It is by faith alone that we are saved. It is not by works, it is by faith. That is the heart of our message, the heart of the Christian gospel. It is not that we do works and do good things to earn our way towards God. It is that God worked towards us and came towards us and forgave all our sins on that cross for anyone who believes. This is what it says in Romans 1. In Romans 1, verse 16 and 17, it says this. For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. I don't know where you sit on this today. I don't know everyone in the room, and I don't know where you sit on the gospel today. I don't know where you've put your trust. If you've put your trust in Jesus today. I grew up in a church and I spent 18 years in a church, a faithful church, a gospel preaching church. And I'm sure I can't count on my hands or that's all I can count. I can't count the number of times that I'd heard the gospel. I'd heard the gospel preached again and again and again. And I hadn't believed it. I hadn't put my trust in God. I hadn't got the faith in me in Jesus. And then there was one time, and can't explain why, but there was one time when I was sat there and I heard the gospel, and in my heart it broke. My heart changed forever. I was transformed in that moment. I believed, I had faith that Jesus had died for me, that this man had been nailed to a cross in my place. I believed it. And it didn't change everything practical. You know, I still had things going on around me. I still had difficult things, circumstances that I was dealing with. But it changed everything. Absolutely everything. Because no matter what I go through now, no matter what happens in my life, no matter the difficulties I face, I know that I know that I know in my heart that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, died a death that he did not deserve in my place, taking my sin upon himself. And then he defeated the grave by raising again on the third day. He is victorious. And I know it. And it's not science. I can't prove it. I don't have all the evidence. I've read some evidence and there's good evidence for Jesus' life, death and resurrection. But it is not that that has brought me to this place. It is Jesus, his faithfulness, and he awakened faith in me. And that is the foundation for our faith, my friends. Yeah. Faith. And if you've had that moment where you know the truth, then God has worked a miracle in your life. It is not natural that you are saved. It's not natural that you believe in Jesus. It's not from a natural, it's supernatural. It's the power of God working and awakening you. The power of God at work. And so if you have a question like, does God care for me? Does he love me? If you believe in Jesus, he has awakened something in you and done a miracle in your life. He is a good God, a faithful God. I have this privilege. I work for The Message, and I work on something called Advance, where we gather people in churches and train them in evangelism. We have a journal, and basically groups meet every month. And it's a worldwide thing where we're in a load of nations. And so every week I get this privilege of talking to people around the nations. This week I was talking to someone in Sierra Leone, someone called Rejoice. And Rejoice told me this story, how she told me her testimony that she was from a Muslim background. And she was asking God, and God revealed himself to her as Savior. And she came to faith in him. And now what she spends her time doing, she goes into the villages around her in Sierra Leone, and she told me of this family who had recently accepted Christ. And she just said, they just responded in faith to the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And they've started gathering people in their home. It's a very Muslim village that she lives in. And I was just like, praise God, you are saving people around this world. Praise God. I was talking to someone else in Uganda a couple of weeks ago, and he shared this story about how, as a group, they had decided to do some outreach. They had decided to reach out to a load of prostitutes who were in the area, and they had this meal where they gathered them in and shared the gospel and ate together. And one lady responded to the gospel. This woman who'd been a prostitute, she responded to the gospel. She came to Jesus and her life had been transformed. Her life had been transformed so much that she went back to that village and she preached the gospel to 10 other prostitutes who all gave their lives to Jesus. Not only that, she went to someone who used to pay her for sex. And she preached the gospel to him and he gave his life to Jesus. God is rescuing and saving and redeeming people all over this world. He is at work in this place. He is alive and active. He is raising faith in people across this world. And it's just incredible when you start to realize the work that God is doing, the thing that we are part of as the body of Christ around this world. It's just amazing, isn't it? I spoke to someone in Peru, a guy called Ricardo. Ricardo was in hospital. This was back at the beginning of last year. He was in hospital. He didn't have any faith. And then a group of people came in, shared the gospel, prayed for him. And he just gave his life to Jesus. And he said his life has been changed. His family life, the whole dynamic is transformed because of that moment of accepting Jesus into his life. Faith rose in Ricardo's life. The gospel is working. The good news of Christ is working across these nations. It's exciting to see. We're going to do some advanced groups here, so watch out for that. And if you want to be part of one, I'd love to talk to you about that. But yeah, it's just amazing what God is doing. He is raising faith in us. It's the foundation. Now, I want to step on a second, because I realize that some of you sat there might be thinking, oh, there might be a bit of a contradiction in Scripture though, Andy. Biblical contradiction. Let's go there. Whoop, whoop, whoop. God's word contradiction. This is what it says in James. Has anyone read James? James 2:24 says this. So, you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone. Darn it. Everyone, just don't read James. Just read the rest of it. Don't read James. Let's not go there. But no, this is something that we need to think about. It's something that we need to be, okay, so it says this in Romans. It says that we're saved by faith alone in Romans. And Romans 3 makes it really clear. We are saved not by works, but by faith. And then James, who was Jesus' brother, comes along. He led the church in Jerusalem, probably the biggest church of the time. And he brought this along. And he wrote this in a letter. And he said, oh, we're not saved by faith alone. And we as people need to be thinking about these contradictions. We need to think, okay, this is what the Bible is teaching. And the best thing for us to do is to put it in context. To put the verses in context. So you look at Paul. Paul is spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And he's telling everyone how to get right with God. And what he's facing is he's facing lots of people who wanted to please God by obeying the law. They wanted to please God by kind of doing the stuff. You know, I'm right with God because I'm active, I'm good, I'm doing. James was facing the exact opposite. He was facing people who had probably responded to the gospel that Paul we read about, saying, oh, no, and they were saying, no, I don't need to do any of that stuff. I don't need to get involved with that. I'm saved by faith. Forget the rest. Saved by faith. You've heard Paul say it? I'm going to nail it. There I am. Saved by faith. And that is the argument. And you read James, and what he's doing in the chapter, James 2, is he's arguing for the fact that actually real faith changes your nature. Your nature changes if you come to faith. Douglas Moo wrote a great commentary on James. And I just want to read. It's quite a long quote. And it says this. James does not in any way question the vital and central importance of faith. We miss James's point in this paragraph if we do not understand this. James does not dispute the power of faith to justify or to save. What he's concerned to do is to define the true nature of faith. As he does through his letter, James attacks superficial and inconsistent Christians who claim they have faith but fail to act on the basis of that faith. Such a faith, James says, accounts to a verbal profession. In other words, people were just saying, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Oh, yeah, no, I believe in Jesus. Oh, yeah, sure. But I don't need to love the poor. I don't need to care for the unlovely. I don't need to put myself into uncomfortable positions. No, I love Jesus. I don't have to do any of that stuff. I'm saved by faith. Whereas James is coming at it and saying, actually, if you are saved, your heart is transformed. If you meet Jesus, if he awakens faith in your heart, then you will act differently because of it. You will have different actions because of it. Faith doesn't allow us to just sit back and not think about the deeper things of life. Faith doesn't allow us to just see the problems going on and step away because, oh, I've got my faith. Faith doesn't allow us to do those. If we are born again, if we have new regenerate life inside of us, we will look more and more like Jesus as we live. And we will look on the problems and we'll say, God, how do you want to fix that? And we will talk to the Father because we are restored to relationship when we are born again. Relationship with the Father. And he's the one that comes down and enters hard situations. Should we not do the same thing? That is true faith. So James in this passage is questioning true faith. Do you truly have faith? And actually, if it's not visible, then maybe we need to be asking questions. He's not saying that the foundation is not faith alone. He's saying that faith should bear actions. And you read it in Hebrews, don't you? The amazing thing, if you want to go and compare the passages in Romans 3 and James 2, compare the passages. Both of them point towards Abraham. So in Romans, Paul is saying, oh, yeah, no, he's justified by faith. Look at Abraham. And then James writes this letter and he says, no, he's saved by faith and his actions. Look at Abraham. Anyway, go and read it. It's interesting. It's fun. Do the work. Wrestle with it. Think about it. Because we don't want to be getting to this place where we're trusting in our works. That's the problem that they had in the church at the time of the Reformation about 500 years ago. They began to trust in their own works, their own abilities, when actually it is faith, and faith completely that changes and transforms, that saves and justifies, that makes us right with God. It is faith. And then you read Hebrews 11, which is the most kind of common chapter on faith that we know. And what does it say? Again and again, it lists through the people. By faith, they stepped into this. By faith, they did this. By faith, they did this. Because when you're changed, you step into the adventures that God has for you. When you have faith, you step into all the plans and purposes God has for you. You trust him. You take risk. You walk in faith. Now, I just want to make one final point. Because in in Hebrews 11, it says that the people of past were commended for their faith. And that's exciting, isn't it? To be commended by God for your faith. I want to be someone who's commended for my faith. But that equally, it says in Ephesians 2 that Stephen preached on last week, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God." One of the things that I can fall into is thinking that my faith is a thing that I work up. Faith becomes a work in itself. Oh, I need to have more faith. I need to do this. I need to do that. Whereas when we look at the scripture properly, faith is a gift from God. It is a gift from the Father in heaven. All of it is a gift. He is at work. He is the one giving it to you. It isn't something we can work up in ourselves. It's not something we can think. It's not in our minds. It is the creator of the world who connects with us through the Holy Spirit and gives us a gift of faith. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says you can have the gift of faith. Faith is a gift that God gives to us for salvation, but also to step out in adventures for him. It is a gift from heaven, not a works. I want to release you from that. It is not a works. But it is a gift from the Father. And if you're in here today thinking, oh, you know, I need a bit more faith. I need faith for what I'm walking through. I need faith for what I think God wants me to walk through. I need faith to step into something new. I think we should pray for one another. I think we should ask God. It tells us to the prayer of faith. I preached on James 5 a while ago, the prayer of faith is powerful and effective. And I think we should be praying in faith for one another to be rising up in faith.
Thanks for listening.
To explore this sermon or learn more about our church, please navigate to the links provided in this podcast description.
From there, you can connect with us on social media. And you're welcome to check out the music links featured in this episode from our very own musicians.
You can also discover current events and information about where we meet on Sundays and various groups or community projects that you can join in with.
If you're interested in knowing more about us or wish to join us for one of our meetings, please reach out.
Simply drop us an email at hello@ccm.org.uk.
We look forward to connecting with you.